yesterday, you know that there was a game in the NFL, and then my house was, beginning was a little bit pleasant, but as the game unfolded, it's the result, getting into the result, the tension arise, and then it was not the pleasant to be around my beloved hubby. So I excluded myself, and the sound was too loud, and then I tried to be a happy camper and supportive of my hubby, and then at the end of the game, and he was getting so many emails and phone calls from all of the places, and make fun of him and here and there, and he was a little bit not a happy camper. So in order to have a happy hubby in the house, I had to have some help. It is called Kentucky Fried Chicken. So we have a bucket of the Kentucky Fried Chicken. He become a happy person again, and we have a happy life ever after last night. And that was great. When we look around and observe around us, there is one moment you can change the mood of your house, mood of the people around you, to trigger them to have a joy and happiness, and make these people and the people around you to be happier. And if we observant, and we can do that. One of the tricks I found with my hubby is the KFC. So then probably with your hubby, your wife, your children, with your parents, you might find out one way, at least one way, to restore the happy family around you, happy people around you. So I am encouraging all of us continuously explore the many different possibilities to have a happy and happier life this coming year. Well, actually this year, 2013. Talking about the happiness, in Christ that we are being baptized, we are being chosen. Outer visible sign of this amazing identity we receive in Jesus Christ in United Methodist Church, we have Holy Communion and Holy Baptism, which we call the sacrament. Last week, we celebrated this amazing identity we have through the Holy Communion. Today, in Christian calendar, today is a day to celebrate the baptism of Jesus. Jesus' baptism. And it is a moment to reconfirm that we think about the baptism in our lives. So today is a day that we're going to reconsider how we are happy. How can we be happier through the reminder of our being, our identity as a chosen person through the sacrament, which is the baptism today. When I was preparing the message for today, I received the one email from one of the beloved friends in this congregation about the baptism. The question this email asked, how do you make holy water? How do we make a holy water in the church? The answer to this question is this. Boil the H-E-L-L out of it. I didn't say that. You make a word out of it. And that is the way to make it holy water, according to this email. And how can we make it a holy water, holy sacrament, holy gathering, holy family in the church? I am keep questioning myself and encouraging you to question with me in this congregation at this moment. How can we have a holy baptism and baptize people in this congregation in our Christian walk? And according to the definition of the baptism in a United Methodist Church, is the visible outer sign of God's grace. The theology of God's theology of God in United Methodist Church can be summarized with one word: grace. The one word is what?
Grace.
If you are truly the Methodist Christian and practice Christian ethic in a Methodist way, the grace needed to come out of you all, every places. And a Methodist Christian is all about grace. Prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. Prevenient grace is about the grace that we do receive before we acknowledge the grace. Before we realize that God loves us, God still loved us. When infant baby born into the family, this child does not know exactly how lovable he is or she is at the sight of the parents, at the sight of the people around this child. But without acknowledging by this love and grace by the little child, the infant child, still this child is loved by the parents and the people around this child. That is called prevenient grace. And then there is, when we grow up a little bit more, and our maturity is getting better and better in understanding of God and the love around us, we acknowledge that there is the moment, aha moments, that, wow, I am being loved by God. I am so loved by my parents, even though they bother me to wake me up in the morning, the early in the morning, go to school. Even though they do not do exactly what I want them to do, they still love me. There is aha moment that is called justifying grace. When we have aha moment, aha, God loves me. Aha, God, my parents love me. That is called the justifying grace moment. That moment we receive the baptism by for acknowledging the amazing grace and love we receive. Some of you have not received this holy baptism yet. And you might wondering still, am I lovable? Am I blessed like my brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? Looks like the person next to me has a perfect life, not like mine. I'm struggling with so many things, relationship and finance and all other sinful habits I cannot cut down yet. Am I still lovable? My answer to you is, yes, you are. Before what you acknowledge or before you do anything to God and to the others, God said, you are lovable. And when we acknowledge this one in a public setting, it's called baptism. Many of us already been baptized. If you do not know yet, ask your parents. Probably you were baptized when you were baby before you realized. And you know that God loves you through your parents, the people around you. And the sanctifying grace comes later on after we have aha moments by saying that we will grow in grace. Yes, I do make mistakes a lot here and there. However, God's grace is sufficient for me to be forgiven person I am, to be in the kingdom of God, and then I can grow into it. God is not condemning me because of the simple mistake or the big mistake I do make. Regardless of who I am, what kind of mistake I'm making, God still loves me. So while we say, come home, while I'm preparing this message, I got to know the one of the movie called, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? In one of the scenes in this movie, this movie is about the three prisoners escaping from the prison. And they are exploring a lot of things. One scene I remember is that these three prisoners found themselves in the village. This village is kind of a holy, holy village. One day, the whole townsman and a woman, they gather up and heading to the river to be baptized by the priest in the town. And they wore the white gowns, and they were so inspired and excited about being cleansed by the Holy Spirit at the baptism. They were singing and walking down the river and baptized. And these three prisoners were observing what was going on. And one of the prisoners was so inspired at that moment that, how would you like to be cleansed? I would like to be renewed. So he ran to the priest that walked down the river, encountered the priest at the river, and he got baptized. When he came out of the baptism, he was telling telling his friend that, come on in, water is not bad, water is fine, come on in, water is fine. were baptized, did we have that excitement? When we experienced the cleansing moments with the presence of God, did we have that? The baptism of people, we are sending this invitation to everyone as we receive this invitation from God. Come on in. The water is fine. Come on in. Our Redeemer is okay. Come on in and join the godly fellowship of Jesus Christ at a church. Being Christian is not boring. Coming to church is not boring. Do you have these types of excitement? Today's text nearly breaking into two sections. Gospel Luke chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, it talks about the encounter at the river between seekers for the Savior and John the Baptist. And the second portion of the passage talks about the encounter of the Holy Trinity. First, let's talk about the first encounter. First encounter at the river, seeker and John. Let's read it at verse 15, Gospel Luke, chapter 3. If you have a Bible, please open it up. And if you feel like it, please open it up. And also, there is a screen on screen for the scripture. Chapter 3 of Gospel Luke, verse 15. Let's read it at 15 together. Ready? Go.
People were waiting
expectantly, and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. Here, everyone has some expectation or expectancies. In the first encounter at the river, deep need pours forth in the great longing. Scripture tells us that people were filled with expectation. They are longing for the Savior. Their life is not in order the way they want it to be. They should be create a peace in their heart. They were so frustrated, but they heard the story how John the Baptist preached and baptized the people, cleansed the soul, and renewed their soul. And then they heard about it. And because of the story they heard, they decided to come forward at the river. Encounter him with the expectation. Are you the Savior? Are you the one who can save me from the darkness of my life I'm going through? Are we different from these guys who came to the river to encounter Jesus and John? We are not that different in here. Spiritual dehydration is given these days. We are hunger for something. Maybe this one will solve me. Maybe these types of worship might serve me. Probably this might, the different Bible study might serve me. Well, to save. But are we really seeking Savior in some other places? Level of deep longing and spiritual dehydration leads the people to seek out John at the river and ask, "You might be the Savior. You might be the Savior." This day, symbolically, we gather at the river of life and ask this: money, position, power, pleasure, and the list goes on. Is the Savior we are looking for? If we earn extra money to bring that extra money to the family, is that the way we can solve the problems and then that the money can be a savior? How about other relationships? If my husband behaves a little bit, my life will be happier. Yeah, definitely, yes, it is. However, it is not an ultimate savior. Who are the savior are you looking? Are your parents are the savior for you to get out of the school? Or your children? Your grandparents, who are the saviors? Pleasures, or what kind of savior are you looking? The answer we received this journey is the same. to the answer, same answer people got from John in the Bible. Life is hitting you and me hard these days. This community being hit by a lot of things. And the people in the 21st century are hitting by a lot of things compared to the 60s and 50s or 90s even. To this pondering heart, God is saying, come on in. Water is not bad. Water is fine. Come on in. Water is fine. Come on in. The kingdom of God is an amazing place for you to find this amazing Savior. This Savior is Jesus Christ. The second encounter at the river, Holy Trinity, tells this answer. Give us this answer. The encounter at the river is with God in Christ through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Trinitarian emphasis is there at the baptism of Jesus. It is not one way or the other, but it is an intertwined relationship of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, commune together to give the power to the people who needed to seek Savior in their lives. When Jesus baptized and then prayed to God, the heaven got torn down, departed each other. And then the Holy Spirit came down in a bodily form, so-called dove. And the voice of God is telling, you are my son, the beloved. I am well pleased. The son, the word, the son is can be translated as a servant. Baptism is not about just cleansing and renewing ourselves. It is about serving, go out. After Jesus was baptized, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted, and then started his ministry. Actually, ministry of God in his life. God's mission in his life was start to be activated through the baptism. How are you and I are doing with this amazing mission we receive from God? Baptism is not about the complacent and being happy all the time, but it is about creating the happy environment and joyful environment, restoring the joy of salvation around us by being a servant of God. Beloved children of God, you are being well served by Jesus Christ, God in human form. You and I are being loved by God and chosen by God and blessed by God. Our duty as of baptized children of God is to serve, not just live it in the complacency life. One of the story I heard from the children's moments in the church, a pastor start to invited the little children to come forward to the front for the children's message. When he gathered up the children and with the excitement, and he was asking the children this question: there is something out here. This person or this one is kind of a small and furry and so cute somewhat. And he always, oftentimes he goes straight up and go down, up and down and run around the yard to collect the nuts. And then pastor asked the children, what is this? And they were thinking and thinking. And a small hand go up into the ear in shy. And then he said, I know the answer. What is the answer, Jimmy? And he said, well, the answer is Jesus. But sounds like a little squirrel. We as followers of Jesus Christ, we have awesome new good news of Jesus Christ. But we oftentimes make this sound, this the amazing message, to sounds like a squirrel. How is your Jesus to others? When people see you, what kind of Jesus do they see? Lastly, I would like to conclude this message with one of the statements I heard. There is a professor, and he was the philosopher. Dallas Willard is his name is. And he is often asked by students why he, as a professor in philosophy, is a follower of Jesus Christ. Dr. Willard is reported to answer with this response. Can you think of anyone better to follow? Come on in. Water is fine. You and I are being baptized. The invitation is given for you and me. Every day, we can be cleansed and renew our soul continuously. Be the servant of God. Come on in. Water is fine. Come on in. Kingdom of God is fine. Come on in. Our Redeemer's United Methodist Church is fine. We are okay people. It's okay to hang around with us, to have amazing joy of salvation in our hearts.